pro-Palestinian protests have popped up on college campuses across the country. But from the eyes of students, what are we missing?
From the outside, these protests are painted as really violent when that couldn't be further from the truth.
I'm Brittany Luce, host of NPR's It's Been a Minute, and I'm inviting you to hear from student journalists who see what the rest of us cannot. On It's Been a Minute from NPR.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. With aid groups bracing for an Israeli ground offensive in southern Gaza, Egypt is scrambling to try to broker a new ceasefire deal. NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports on renewed diplomacy.
Egypt sent a delegation to Israel Friday to press Israel not to enter Rafah in southern Gaza and instead focus on a ceasefire deal that would see the release of Israeli hostages held by Hamas. Now, a top Hamas official says the group is studying the latest proposal from Israel and will soon respond. The official did not provide details of what's being negotiated. Up to now, talks have centered on a six-week truce with the release of about 40 of the 133 hostages and the release of hundreds of Palestinians from Israeli jails. The U.S. has accused Hamas of holding up the deal. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Tel Aviv.
Columbia University students pledging to continue their encampment against the war in Gaza until their demands are met, which include not allowing police to enter campus again. More than 100 people were arrested at Columbia last week, sparking similar protests around the country. Columbia sent an email to students last night saying bringing back police would be counterproductive. University of Texas at Austin says students arrested at pro-Palestinian demonstrations will be allowed back to campus. Audrey McGlinchey of members station KUT reports.
UT Austin says at least two dozen people affiliated with the university were arrested Wednesday and charged with trespassing during on-campus protest against Israel's conduct in the war in Gaza. The Travis County Attorney's Office reported 57 arrests. By Friday, all trespassing charges had been dropped. A spokesperson for UT Austin initially said students arrested during the protests would not be allowed back on campus. But hours later, a spokesperson said students can return for final exams, which begin next week. Students could face discipline at a later date. I'm Audrey McGlinchey in Austin.
Attorneys and advisors to former President Donald Trump are among those named in the criminal indictment of individuals who engaged in an effort to certify Arizona's fake electors in 2020. From member station KJZZN Phoenix, Wayne Shutsky has more.
An earlier version of the indictment included the names of 11 so-called fake electors along with 7 redacted defendants. The indictment alleges all were involved in an illegal effort to create fake Trump presidential electors for a state he did not win. The newly released copy of the indictment confirms the identity of 5 of those previously redacted defendants. They include Trump advisor Boris Epstein, 2020 Trump campaign official Michael Roman, and attorneys Christina Bobb, Jenna Ellis, and John Eastman. NPR was able to identify the remaining redacted individuals as former Trump White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows and Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani using details in the indictment that could only apply to them. For NPR News, I'm Wayne Shetsky in Phoenix.
The New York hush money trial of Donald Trump resumes next week. Jurors now on a 3-day weekend. This is NPR News. There's a good chance of more severe weather in the Midwest today. Forecasters expect strong storms from central Texas to Michigan. Yesterday, tornadoes collapsed buildings and leveled homes in Nebraska and Iowa. The most destructive plowed through suburban Omaha. In Nebraska's Lancaster County, a suspected tornado collapsed an industrial building with some 70 people inside, but authorities say there were no life-threatening injuries. Stocks rallied this week thanks to strong earnings from top technology companies. Both the S&P and the NASDAQ had their best week since November, but trading was volatile, as NPR's Rafael Nam reports.
Optimism about earnings helped markets recover from a tough stretch recently. Microsoft and Alphabet, the parent company of Google, both posted better-than-expected earnings. That optimism helped all three major indexes, including the Dow Jones, gain for the week. But it wasn't all positive in terms of sentiment. Investors were concerned by data showing the economy growing a little slower than expected in the previous quarter. And other reports indicated inflation is running hotter than expected. Rafael Nam, NPR News.
Today is Freedom Day in South Africa. The country is marking 30 years since the election in 1994 in which black South Africans voted for the first time, free of white minority rule. The previously banned African National Congress won overwhelmingly, and Nelson Mandela became South Africa's first black president. I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News.
Listen to this podcast sponsor-free on Amazon Music with a Prime membership or any podcast app by subscribing to NPR News Now Plus at plus.npr.org. That's plus.npr.org.